Evening prayer, Sunday the 19th of April. Dearly beloved, the scripture moveth us in sundry places to acknowledge and confess our manifold sins and wickedness, and that we should not dissemble nor cloak them before the face of Almighty God our Heavenly Father, but confess them with a humble, lowly, penitent and obedient heart, to the end that we may obtain forgiveness of the same, by his infinite goodness and mercy. And although we ought at all times humbly to acknowledge our sins before God, yet ought we most chiefly so to do, when we assemble and meet together, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at his hands, to set forth his most worthy praise, to hear his most holy word, and to ask those things which are requisite and necessary, as well for the body as the soul. Wherefore I pray and beseech you, as many as are here present, to accompany me with a pure heart and humble voice unto the throne of the heavenly grace, saying with me, Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Grant, we beseech thee, merciful Lord, to thy faithful people pardon and peace, that they may be cleansed from all their sins, and serve thee with a quiet mind, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth shall show forth thy praise. O God, make speed to save us. O Lord, make haste to help us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be, ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Praise ye the Lord. The Lord's name be praised. Psalm 30, verse 1 to 5. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up, and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cry to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favour is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The first reading is taken from the writings called Daniel in the Old Testament, from chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom. and over them three presidents, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other presidents and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the presidents and satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom. But they could find no ground for complaint or any fault, because he was faithful, and no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against this Daniel, unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these presidents and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live for ever." All the presidents of the kingdom, and the prefects and the satraps, the counsellors and the governors, are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an interdict, that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the interdict and sign the document, so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore King Darius signed the document and interdict. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem, and he got down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he'd done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and supplication before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the interdict, "O king, did you not sign an interdict that any man who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered, "The thing stands fast, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered before the king, "That Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no heed to you, O king, or the interdict that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed, and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he laboured until the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no interdict or ordinance which the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king said to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Then, at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. When he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish and said to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live for ever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O King, I have done no wrong. Then the king was exceedingly glad, and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of hurt was found upon him, because he had trusted in his God. There ends the second reading.
We say the Magnificat. My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he hath regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath magnified me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him throughout all generations. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seat, and hath exalted the humble and meek. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He, remembering his mercy, hath holpen his servant Israel, as he promised to our forefathers, Abraham and his seed for ever. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The second lesson is written in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, beginning at verse 46. Then Joseph of Arimathea brought a linen cloth, and taking down the body of Jesus, wrapped it in the linen cloth, and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where the body was laid. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices, so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. They had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there's the place they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
We say the Nunc Dimittis. Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, to be a light to lighten the Gentiles, and to be the glory of thy people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you, and with thy spirit. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. O Lord, show thy mercy upon us, and grant us thy salvation. O Lord, save the Queen, and mercifully hear us when we call upon thee. Endue thy ministers with righteousness, and make thy chosen people joyful. O Lord, save thy people, and bless thine inheritance. Give peace in our time, O Lord, because there is none other than fighteth for us, but only thou, O God. O God, make clean our hearts within us, and take not thy Holy Spirit from us. Almighty Father, who has given thine only Son to die for our sins, and to rise again for our justification, grant us so to put away the leaven of malice and wickedness, that we may always serve thee in pureness of living and truth, through the merits of the same thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O God, from whom all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works do proceed, give unto thy servants that peace which the world cannot give, that both our hearts may be set to obey thy commandments, and also that by thee, we being defended from the fear of our enemies, may pass our time in rest and quietness, through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour. Amen. Lighten our darkness, we beseech thee, O Lord, and by thy great mercy defend us from all perils and dangers of this night, for the love of thy only Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen.
It is enlightening how some passages or stories from Scripture make more sense to us as our life changes, or indeed as the world seems to change. I thought this as I read the second reading set for this evening from St Mark's Gospel. Now, St Mark has a strange ending to his Gospel, and I can't help thinking that what most Christians do when they think about Easter is ignore Mark's account. Mark's story is often overlooked, since he has no appearances of Jesus following the visit of the women on Easter morning to the empty tomb. He tells us that the women left trembling and afraid and mute. Now, Mark was written, according to most scholars, around the time of the destruction of the temple or Jerusalem by the Romans about 70 AD, perhaps even a decade before. And reading around the subject this week, I found that we have strong textual evidence to suggest that first generation followers of Jesus were perfectly happy or fine with Mark's gospel account, which does indicate no appearances of Jesus after his resurrection to the women. The passage certainly is very strange because it ends with the Greek word gar, which means for or because. It ends abruptly, and there is no explanation of what is to come next. Now, there are no additional endings found on the earliest and most reliable Greek copies of Mark. Later on, some people did add extra pieces to try to explain why it was so abrupt. But it seems to me that this ending is quite consistent with the whole gospel. Mark is often harsh or down to earth with the followers of Jesus. And also, the abrupt ending is consistent with Mark's abrupt beginning in chapter 1. Perhaps the clue to the end of the Gospel is found when we read St. Mark's account of the Last Supper. On the last night, Jesus tells his intimate friends following the meal, "After I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." What Mark seems to believe is that Jesus will be lifted up or raised up to the right hand of God, and that the disciples would see him in Galilee. Now, in John's Gospel, we hear this tradition continued. John tells us the disciples have returned to their homes in Galilee in despair and resumed their occupations. Only then did they experience sightings of Jesus. So they had to go back fishing to meet him. And Matthew also echoes this tradition when he tells us that story of the strange encounter on the mountain in Galilee, where some of the 11 apostles even doubted that they were seeing Jesus. So what are we to make of this abrupt ending of St. Mark's Gospel today? It's strange that Mark talks about the good news of Jesus, but he tells us that the women leave the tomb in a terrible panic. Well, I think it's helpful to think of Mark's Gospel as the Gospel of the riddle of Jesus. People just don't know what to do when they have the Son of God on their hands. "Who is this man?" the people ask. "Do you not understand?" Jesus asks the disciples. "Don't tell anyone," says Jesus, to a man he heals. Now, if the young man at the tomb tells the women to get the news out, but they run away and don't say a word, isn't that a perfect end to this story, the story of Mark's Gospel? It's a gospel where humans are just so weak, and yet God's grace abounds. We might like God to give us some certainty, some satisfying experience to make it feel all right, some reassuring picture of how things will be. But Mark does not give us that in his gospel. That's certainly the case in Matthew, Luke and John. They give us descriptions of encounters with the risen Jesus. But it may be in Easter 2020, Mark's gospel is far more realistic to us. The events around us at present make us suspicious of any easy answers. Our experiences of what's happening make us suspicious of neatness, of easy closure, of people suddenly living happy ever after. That is not how it is, as we know now, in the real world. We can look back on leaders, politicians, giving blueprints for the future, as many did before Christmas, and remember that what actually turned out was different from what anyone could have expected. So I think now, in our present state, we are unconvinced by fairy tale endings. If that's us, then it may be that we hear today how God speaks best through St. Mark's jagged end. There's no neatness, no closure, instead simply a promise to hold on to. What will it be like in the future how will we know Jesus when he's risen? It's at this point Mark says to us, yes, you'll meet him in the future, but I'm not going to give you pictures to prescribe how it's going to be. He has gone ahead of you, says the young man to the women. You will see him there. And so we look forward to the future, knowing that he is with us and we will meet him. But how that will be discovered at that time. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we praise you for the resurrection of Christ from the dead. We thank you that we are an Easter people and pray that we may live as those who believe in the triumph of the cross. Grant that through your church, the glorious light of the risen Christ may be shed on all people. May the church be a visible witness to your grace and an agent of your kingdom throughout the world. We pray for the church throughout the world at this time of uncertainty and the part of the church to which we belong, that the things it should no longer cling to may be left behind, that the love of self-preservation may be set aside, that the changes you demand of it may be embraced joyfully, and that in the end it may be the means by which all may discover that Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Loving God, we pray that the joy of the resurrection may be known throughout the world, that those who do not yet know the love of Christ may be brought to feel his presence and share his risen life. We pray for all those who are called to leadership in the affairs of the world. Give them vision to see far into the issues of our time, courage to uphold what they believe to be right, and integrity in their words and motives. May their service to their people promote the welfare and justice of society and the peace of the world. We pray for the marginalised and powerless in our society and in the world, the homeless, the hungry, the unemployed, the prisoners of conscience and the oppressed, and all those who at this time are uncertain about their future and in danger of losing their livelihood. Help us to remember that there can be no peace without justice and no justice without godliness. We pray for all those who care for and give direction to others in the health and social services at this critical time. We pray for the ability to see in our daily lives constantly renewed opportunities to serve Christ. We pray for grace this Easter time to heal the wounds of quarrels and disputes among our families, friends and colleagues, to ask, accept and offer pardon where there has been wrong, that together we may know the fullness of the Easter joy. We pray that our daily tasks may be offered with love and care for those around us. Help us to leave yesterday and not to covet tomorrow, but to accept the uniqueness of today and of each moment. Loving God, grant to all who suffer the knowledge of where true healing is to be found. Heal the hurt and broken bodies. Give peace to the troubled minds. Restore hope to the grieved and anxious spirits. And lead human sorrow through the pain of the dying Christ to the joy of his resurrection. Grant patience and skill to all who work for the relief of suffering, and bring comfort and strength where there is distress for the sickness or death of loved ones. Receive into the peace of your kingdom all who have died, and grant them your everlasting mercy. Lord Jesus, stay with us, for evening has come and the day is past. Be our companion in the way, kindle our hearts and awaken hope, that we may know you as you are revealed in Scripture and in the experiences of our daily lives. Grant this for the sake of your love. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all evermore. Amen.